Clay, you know what this show doesn't need?
What does this show not need?
More couples.
Why? Because we already have six.
We already have six.
The odd number gets my perfectionist spidey senses going. It's going to be 11 couples.
Isn't six an even number? Hello and welcome to Married at First Sight, the recap podcast. We also write written recaps. If you're wondering who is we, well, I am Jessie Stevens. I work here at Mamma Mia. And this is
Claire Stevens, your twin sister.
You also have a job.
I work here too.
You're employed. That's good. Before we begin, we need to touch on some correspondence we have received.
In the podcast, how you mentioned that, look, I realise she probably isn't this, but she comes across as the whole grade 9 girl that was critical and blah, blah, blah. Davina's actually an advocate for women and is empowering women through her PT business. She only trains women, and I know this because I'm a client. She's really good at making you feel good about yourself no matter what size or shape you are. She's really bloody lovely.
Things aren't always as they seem.
It's almost like this show is manipulating us and representing the characters as something other than what they truly are.
It's bizarre. No, but in all seriousness, thank you, Holly, because I am sure Davina does great things for women and she looks like a great personal trainer.
You know what? I think there was one character in the history of Married at First Sight that was portrayed exactly as she was, and that was Deb.
Yeah.
Now, the reason I'm referring to Deb is because during tonight's episode, John returns. For anyone who does not remember, last season, John was matched with Deb and Deb just wanted one thing out of a man. It was simple, probably more simple than any other expectations. Claire, what was it?
She wanted a Polynesian.
She wanted a brown man.
Someone from the Polynesian Islands.
Very simple.
And then to bloody rub it in, for her honeymoon, they sent her to Samoa.
And she
white
was
guy.
Salivating, like, I want that, and I'm stuck with a John.
And
John returned tonight. He has not become even marginally more Polynesian.
He's just not Polynesian.
He's a white man.
It's a thing he cannot change. And he's returned in the hopes of finding love.
John Aiken did ask John the question that I believe we all have.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you still have faith in this experiment? Why would you come back when you were quite literally trolled in the last season? Like, he was the butt of a joke, which was like, lol, you're not black. She's always going to hate you for something you can't change, which is a really good storyline.
It wasn't just the Polynesian thing, because she also couldn't stand someone who smoked. He was a lifelong smoker. Couldn't stand someone who drank. He loves to drink. Couldn't stand someone who gambles. He does something to do with horses.
I remember her losing it on their honeymoon and being like, I got nothing I wanted. The cake was orange and not gluten-free.
And I was like, nah, that's actually really slack.
That's actually slack. But she also went through everything that was wrong with John. And then we meet John's match. Mel is a perfect.
She is so great.
And you just know that it's going to be a lot better than Deb, because she doesn't even mention what nationality she wants him to be. And when they stand at the altar making their vows, he says, I promise to be this, I promise to be that. At no point does he promise to be Polynesian.
And that's why I think this will work.
Which brings us to the other couple of the night. I actually don't know what to say about Troy, because I don't want to diagnose anyone. I know that that's frowned upon in journalism, but there's something that is sitting not right with me. How about you?
Yeah.
There is a scene of him in his bathroom brushing his teeth.
Oh, so aggressive.
And I had so many thoughts as it was happening. Firstly, I was like, if he brushes his teeth like that, imagine him having sex, because I feel like it would be messy and aggressive. And then I thought, whoever he meets, it's only a matter of time before they see him brush his teeth and they leave.
I know.
Because you'd be like, what are you doing?
But the other thing was, it was hours before his wedding day and he's filmed brushing his teeth. And he was eating tuna in between brushing his teeth. Number one rule on your wedding day, no goddamn tuna.
No tuna.
No tuna on your wedding day. You can eat all the other things.
Can I add to that rule? Don't eat tuna between brushing your teeth. Like, don't brush your teeth, go, oh, throw out some tuna.
Might just have one more bite of tuna.
And then chuck some tuna in your mouth and then brush your teeth some more with a bit of tuna, like, hanging out in your mouth, and then spit it out and go, more tuna, and then go and get, like, I don't understand why he was craving tuna so intensely.
and then before he walked down the aisle, he was like, I need a mint. And then he muttered something about
and
the tuna.
And then when they kissed at the altar, it was like, his tuna tongue with bits of tuna between all his teeth was getting all up in her grill. And I was like, no,
don't.
You need to brush your teeth aggressively now.
It was really clever production because a lot was said about him.
Yes.
Simply through the tuna anecdote.
Exactly.
I care more about what's in my belly than what that does to other people.
Exactly.
That's
right.
What I think about people who eat tuna in general.
When they introduce him, there is this scene where he is wading in shallow water, I would say midway through his shin. And he's walking around and he's kind of playing with a dog, falling in the water with a snorkel on. And I was like, why the snorkel? And then he's playing tennis. He has the coordination skills of an intoxicated ostrich, I would say. He actually thinks he's good, obviously, because he got the cameras and said, yeah, get me playing my tennis.
And then he talked about being in shape, and it was as though the tennis was reflecting how he was in shape. And I was like, mate,
you have never played this sport before. It was awful. Anyway, so he goes to the church, and all he wants is a Barbie doll woman who's perfect.
I'd probably say my type is the cheerleader. Blonde, she's blue-eyed, she's got this really tan skin, she's pretty skinny, she's got a big chest.
Kind of sounds like a blonde Barbie.
Exactly.
Before Ashley gets there, Troy has his eyes on another woman, doesn't he, Claire?
Within seconds, he looks over and somehow makes eyes at Ashley's mum.
She's got a beautiful mother. I saw the mother, hoped instantly the daughter would be exactly like the mother. I could settle down with that girl instantly if it was a purebred straight from the mother.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's creepy because he goes up to her and says, you're beautiful, you're stunning, like your
you're
face.
You're stunningly genetics, blah, blah, blah.
And she's just having a great time. She's like, no one has said things like that to me. And her husband's like, shut up, Cheryl. I don't know if that's her name. I don't know if that's their marriage dynamic.
Unpopular opinion, this is the match that might work.
I know.
I couldn't think of many women in the universe who would meet him, be like confronted with that laugh, hear all the things he's saying and not want to punch him in the face. And she was very like, oh, she was sweet with it.
And as the wedding goes on, one thing becomes blatantly clear. Troy does not care about who this Ashley chick is at all. He doesn't ask her anything, not age, not name, not where she works, not where she lives, anything.
He decides at one stage that she looks like a teacher, and then he feels quite content with that answer. And when he discovers that she's not, he's like, oh, there you go. I didn't really care too much about what she did for a living. So he's not really invested in Ashley, but that's the thing about Barbie dolls. It doesn't matter what they do. You put an outfit on them, they're a dentist. So he's just like, he's content with the way Ashley looks. This is going to be the same problem we've clearly encountered with Dean,
yes.
Which is that she's going to start speaking, having thoughts, opinions.
Moods.
Maybe she doesn't like mangoes.
Maybe her vagina doesn't look like a mound.
Like a Barbie. And he's going to go, what is that?
What be that?
And then they're going to have a fight, and then that's when the whole thing is going to unravel. If there is one couple that I have the utmost faith in, I'm feeling Mel and John.
I really hope so.
I don't think I have felt like this, perhaps ever in the history of Married at First Sight. There, I said it.
Because his face when he sees her just lights up and he's like, it's someone who isn't Deb.
His expectations are so low, which is, I mean, just great general advice for life is to set your expectations low. But they're so low. And as soon as she walks down the aisle and doesn't look at him and say, why aren't you Polynesian? He just falls in love. And I think she's quite content. She knows John from the television.
She's
a bit starstruck.
Yeah.
They're extremely happy. I have a lot of faith in this. And look, maybe John Aiken did something right.
Oh, that's a big call. That's a big call. Well, that's all we've got time for tonight. Tomorrow night, I believe, we have another two couples getting married.
It's going on for too long. We're already a little bit over weddings, but that's okay because we're here for it, you're here for it, we're in this together.
Honeymoons are soon. So if you have anything you would like to share with us, anything you'd like to add in.
If you know where Deb is and if she found a Polynesian, we're going to need you to give us a call.
So the number is 8999386.
You can email us at podcast@mamamia.com.au or you can just contact us directly on Facebook under Claire and Jesse Stevens, where we are constantly up for conversations regarding Married at First Sight. So thank you again for joining us. We will be here tomorrow night. And don't forget to go and read our recap on mamamia.com.au. Bye.
See ya. Bye.